These are scary economic times. With banks failing and the government seeking extreme measures to fix our broken financial systems, tensions are on the rise, bringing out the worst in people. Grace responds to the worst in others in unique ways. Teaching today from Acts 14 on the topic of witnessing of God's grace, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith exposes these supernatural responses in this episode of Transformed. Also, we'd like to let you know about a great tool that you'll find very helpful. It's Go to My PC. If you commute to work, you're feeling the effect of the gas prices. Think about this. If you work from home one day a week, you could save 20%. And that's why you need Go to My PC. Anything you can do at your office PC, you can do from home or anywhere. Simply log on to gotomypc.com and your office desktop instantly appears, just as if you were sitting in front of it. Work with all your programs and files, check email, even transfer files. You can try Go to My PC free today for 30 days. Just visit gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc.com/podcast for your free trial. And now let's join Pastor Matt and the congregation at First Baptist Church of Palos Verdes, California.
Well, I was on vacation this past July. I was reading USA Today, and there was this huge article on the front page, Signs of a Growing Crisis. Now, this is about a month old already. This is the 16th of July paper. This is the 10th of August. But this is what it said. It said, relentless flow of bad economic news suggests there's no easy way out. The Dow, blue chip stocks, down 21.2% in the past year. How many do I hear an amen in the room? There's that. You've been there, huh? If you've got stock, you know what they're talking about. Inflation, are you ready for this? You might want to put your seatbelt on for this one. This is a month old. This hasn't caught up. It's worse than this now, okay? Wholesale prices have risen 9.2% since June of 2007. You know that, don't you? You go buy some lettuce or some meat, hamburger at $3 a pound, and that's a deal? Oof. The U.S. dollar. Now, I remember when the euro was invented. I said to my wife, we were pastoring a little church where I got $600 a month as a salary in a parsonage. And I said, oh, that I had $10,000 right now. And she said, why? I said, I would buy euros. U.S. dollar down 13.2% versus the euro during the past year. Friend of Tabitha's, is coming in tomorrow night from England, and she's oh so excited about the exchange rate. She's making a fortune on this trip coming to us. Going home, that's another story. She'll be penniless, but that's a... Foreclosures up 53% since this time last year. Would love to tell you that bad news never affects Christ followers. Not true. Church dropouts, according to the Washington Post, says the number of church-going Americans who dropped out of the church doubled in the past decade. Church attendance has dropped 40% in America. An estimated 3,700 churches are closing this year. We're planting 4,000, so that gives us a net gain of 300. But if we were to keep up with the population, we would need to plant 2,900 more every year. Just this past week, Bill Hybels had his big leadership conference, telecommunications all over the globe, and they had sites all over. And Bill Hybels talked about how they're so economically strapped at Willow Creek that they've slashed everything. He was in retirement, kind of quasi-preacher, once in a while when he wanted to. He had to come back to be the head pastor. These are turbulent times. These are difficult times. You going through them, I know. I'm going through them. But did you notice the turbulent times seem to bring out the worst in people. Or to put it another way, as my friend says, turbulent times or bad times seem to just reveal what people really are. The veneer gets wiped away. And their frustration as it mounts and increases, and the tension that occurs, people feel like they've got to let that out somewhere. My hope and prayer is that they don't let it out on you, but whether it's in the classroom or at the office, whether it's in the schoolroom or wherever it might be, you and I have to respond. And we can't do that from a dry well. There has to be something inside of us. How do we do that? Well, today I want to take you through a passage that's in the book of Acts in chapter 14. And if you have your Bible, let me just encourage you to grab it. In Acts chapter 14, I just want you to notice that when Paul and Barnabas were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were not well received in every place. How did they endure when people attacked them and yelled at them? I'm in chapter 14, and there is a text inside the rack in front of you if you'd like to pull it out. If you're using the rack Bible, that's page 958. If you brought your own copy, we're in chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so they spoke with a great multitude of both the Jews and the Greeks, and they believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren, and therefore they stayed there boldly a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness of the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city were divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And then there was a violent attempt made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. Did you get the scene? Opposition, violence. They fled for their lives. When they arrived in another city, God blesses their ministry. Let's keep reading, verses 8 to 18. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, momentarily, hang on. I'm pretty loud over here. Apologies for the microphone. This is what happens when you have technical difficulties. Verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking. And Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." Instantaneously. No delay. No someday. He leaped and walked. And now when the people saw what Paul had done and raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men," and Barnabas, they called Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Why, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God." He's talking about mythology, useless things. "Who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling out our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, they scarcely could restrain themselves. from sacrificing to them. Wow, imagine. That's amazing. I don't know about you, but the same people now are go to another place, and they have a great ministry, and this man is healed. It's supernatural. And then they say, oh, we're going to sacrifice to you, your gods. And they say, no, 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 no. Your gods are useless things. And we're not them. There is a living and true God. It was a tense scene. And then look at verses 19 and 20. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. That's where the problems were at the beginning of this chapter. And having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed. You and I need a witness everywhere we go. We need to be a witness wherever we go. We need to be the salt and the light that Jesus asked us to be. And sometimes that causes us to say things that are not well accepted, whether it's at school, whether it's at the office, whether that's in the classroom, or whether that's around the table somewhere. It just happens. And some people are going to receive it and some people aren't. We live in a PC world, and I don't mean versus Mac. Everything's got to be politically correct, and everybody gets offended about something every day. Have you noticed that? We are in the most I'm offended world that I've ever, that history records. Boy, all you got to do is look at somebody, James, and they're ticked at you. Just, you offended me. Come on, get over it. Look at how he's, can you imagine witnessing this way today? Your spiritual belief is a worthless thing. Say that to a Jew. Say that to a Hindu. Say that to someone who's Muslim. Say that to someone who believes in... that would be offensive. And of course, that stirred up a little bit of trouble. Did you notice what happened to Paul, if you're filling in the blanks? Did you notice what happened to Paul? Paul had to deal with painful attacks in his Christian life. In verse 9 especially, if you have your Bible, verse 9, you notice that people were turned against Paul. They poisoned the minds. They went around and whispered. We call it a whisper campaign today. It's called a whisper campaign. They turned against him. They poisoned the minds of the people who were listening. They stoned him. The crowd was listening to him, enjoying his message, and pretty soon, just real quickly, boom, stone. Now, this is a rock concert, but this isn't the kind you want to go to. Third, he's dragged out of the city. Just, we don't even want your dead body in our city. Let's just get you out to the trash pile. Okay. And finally, he was just left. I'd circle that word after you write it in, left for dead. That problem is solved. Well, you know the text. You heard the text. It didn't solve the problem. God touched him, came back. He came back. Now listen, just in the white space, write this down. The problem you crucify will come back to get you. The problem you stone will come back to get you. Work it out, because it will bite you later on. That's what happens with Paul here. That's what happened with Jesus on the cross. He's dead, done, good, hallelujah. How do we deal with this kind of maliciousness? This evil in our society. How do we get through and past this? We need to exercise grace. Someone has said that a pearl is a garment of patience that enclosed an annoyance. Grace. You see, grace affects our attitude. And we see it in this historical account of Paul and Barnabas' journey to fulfill the mission of their lives. But what do we see? Well, I was looking at this passage and I realized they had a very powerful attitude. First, they had a sympathy at the sight of need. Paul saw need in Iconium and he stayed there in the midst of strong opposition and he brought the message of salvation. He saw a man who was crippled and he said, there's a need and I want to touch it and heal it. When we exercise grace in our lives, we give people our heart despite the problems. A lot of times I counsel people who have marriage problems, and somebody wants the escape valve. They just want to pop out. They want that lifeboat, that escape pod. And I ask them, why? I'm not happy. I'm not happy. But quitting becomes a habit. And the first time you do it, it's hard. The second time, it's easier. And the third time, it's easier. You and I get our eyes off the focus of self, and we have sympathy. We get the eyes focused on ourselves, and we lose the sympathy and the care and the need around us. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. Second, they had courage in the face of danger. There's a story about a legendary preacher down in the Ozarks, southwest Missouri. His name was Brother Jackson. This was many years ago. The church had been terrorized by a local thug who drank, disturbed services, harassed the preacher, threatened the people, beat some people up. And so Brother Jackson was called to the church. And in his first sermon, he denounced the bully by name, called him out. Two men met on the road the next day. The bully said that he was going to beat the preacher up. Brother Jackson said he'd like to ask just for one thing. Would you pray? Would you let me pray for just a moment, prepare myself? And the man said, yes, you may pray. And so let me read this because it's far too eloquent for me to stumble through. O Lord, thou knowest that when I was forced to kill Bill Hewitt and John Brown and Jerry Smith and Levi Battles, I did it in pure self-defense. And thou knowest that when I cut the heart out of that young upstart Younger and strewed the ground with his brains of mean old Philip Yandy, it was forced upon me, and I did it only with the great agony of soul. And now, O Lord, I'm forced to put in his coffin this poor, wretchable, miserable wretch, Bully Sam Johnson. Have mercy on his soul and take care of his widow and his orphans. Amen. When Brother Jackson rose, took his knife from his pocket, began to whet the stone, sharpen the blade. He started singing in a loud voice, "Nearer, my God, to thee." When he looked around, Sam Johnson was gone. Courage in the face of danger. Paul stayed in Iconium a long time, despite the opposition and the poisoning of the minds around him, all the whisper campaigns that were going on. Paul returned to Lystra after he'd been stoned by the naysayers. You see, by exercising grace, we stay when we want to flee. Maybe a marriage. Maybe in an office. Maybe at a job. Third, this powerful attitude shows persistence. When grace is given to us, we have persistence in the midst of opposition. While they were under attack in Iconium, Paul and Barnabas continued speaking boldly in the Lord. They were trying to silence them. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, that the Bible says that your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to eat you alive. And if you know anything about lions, you know that old lions are the ones who roar after the young lions have been set in ambush. And if the gazelles would simply run towards the roaring old lion with his rheumatoid arthritis, they'd probably be free. But they get scared and they run away into the very mouths and the paws of the young, strong lions, and someone dies. And the lesson is always the same. You run towards the roar. You run towards the roar. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. And finally, when grace is provided by God, tact, when confronted with delicate situations, is seen in this attitude. Careful, grace. They were misunderstood in Lystra, and they tried to communicate clearly. You see, grace always seeks resolution. Grace always seeks reconciliation. Grace always seeks recovery. Choosing to live out our grace means that we will do all we can to bring unity and understanding to a situation. But like in these passages, let us be clear. Sometimes some people don't want to reconcile. As much as is in you, the Bible says, be at peace with all men. Some people don't want to be at peace. But grace is your identifying mark of a true follower of Christ. The greatest place that God witnesses of his grace is the midst of your troubles and the midst of your trials. These are shining days for us because God has provided enough trouble that his grace in you should be seen every day. Whether it's in a lack of finances or the price at the pump or the strain of other people. I remember that James tells us that we're to consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at us at all from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get any out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. It's a sheer gift of grace that you have problems. What? The world is turned upside down when you walk into God's presence. God's trying to transform your life. Trying to transform my life. How do you get this grace? I want some. In fact, I want buckets of it. I want to be hooked up. I want to be on one of those very fast internet feeds. I don't want to pay for the low download. I want the high download. How do you get it? Well, let's read James 4, 6 and 7 aloud. This is how you get grace. Would you read it with me? But he gives more grace. Say that again. But he gives more grace. One more time. But he gives more grace. Okay, where do you get grace? God gives it, right? Okay. Therefore, read with me. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, grace is a gift given by God only to the humble. Humility is the process where God works in me to remind me that I'm not very special. I mean, I am special. But I'm not more special than you. We've all been around people whose noses are so high that if there was a cloudburst, they'd drown. Can't be that way. God doesn't give grace to people like that. Grace is a gift given by God only to those who submit to Him. You and I have to come back into His presence and say, I have to align my life with what you tell me to do. The text is clear. I need to follow that. If I want grace, I need to submit to that. Grace is a gift given by God only to those who resist the devil. We live in a temptation-filled world. You and I are constantly told, you ought to, you deserve. Have it your way. Going back to clean house. You and I all have to clean our spiritual houses. If we want grace in the midst of trouble, to be able to respond with grace in the midst of trials, we all have to clean house. This one's all about it, resisting the devil. One of the greatest places to resist today is in the constant desire to have more and to be more. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. To be more, to be important. God wants you and I to realize those are places to resist. We have to come into His presence and say, God, I love you. Show me how I can help others. In the midst of trouble, we need to be looking at it with compassion and courageously reaching out to the people in need. I'm very sure from my conversations with you that these are troubling times in your lives. I know some of the problems you're going through, though I'm sure you haven't shared all of them. My heart's desire is that grace would flow in, that it would pour in. You can endure the harassment. You can endure the attack. You can endure the trouble. You can endure the pain. In fact, you can do so much more than that. You can rise above it. The point today is pretty simple. God's grace shines out of the true Christ follower through the attitude they display when tests and challenges come at them from all sides. It's that simple. God wants to. Where do you get grace? God gives it. How do you get it? Humble, submissive, resistive. Let's pray. I'm sure this morning that as I get prepared to pray, that there are many people in this room who need a touch from you, Lord, who need encouragement and grace and strength. And Father God, I'm just going to encourage them right now. If you need an extra portion of grace right now, just be willing to stand up where you are like I am. I'm standing and I'm saying I need an extra portion of grace. Maybe you do too. Would you just stand where you are as I pray and ask God to bless you?
Yes.
All over the room. Yes. Amen. Amen. Father, none of us likes it when we're attacked. I know you understand. Since people have been attacking you and your son for an awful long time. Since Jesus told us that we would live the same kind of life, being attacked and harassed, just as he did, we want to be the best examples of your grace we possibly can. Help us today to feed deeply on your grace as we get alone with you each and every day. Especially for those standing, Father, pour out a fresh filling of your Spirit on us right now, today. Father God, not only today, but each day, every day, as we come back into your presence, Lord, shower us with your blessings again and again. Lord, we pray. In the precious and amazing name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his sake and all God's
peace. It is with that final word we leave you today, with the hope that you will look to Jesus and not the present storms of life for the motivation to complete your mission. If you'd like to comment on this episode or contact Dr. Smith, you can do so in one of three ways: at our website, eaglesinleadership.org, or by emailing us, transformedpodcast@gmail.com, or you can even call our voice line at 206-350-0019. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review at iTunes, Podcast Pickle, or on dig.com. Feel free to pass this episode on to a friend. This podcast was recorded and edited in Palos Verdes, California, by Tabitha Grace Smith. All material contained therein is copyrighted under the Creative Commons license. Please do not rebroadcast without permission. Now, until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, asking you to remember, God empowers you to send you.